Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge Rider Dies or Happen podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair. Allie, how are you?
Sup, snitch?
Well, I can't tag Miss Olivia in our great quality content. We take can't do that.
I mean, we've had the RHAP official social media snitch on us. I've had listeners snitch on us. You've had RHAP out of context. But to see that the call was coming from inside the house.
It's funny. I didn't even think it was that mean to Olivia.
First of all, did you think I was going to forget after a week?
Of course not. Year 8 of us? Of course not.
I think France is putting me in on Saturday because nothing gets past me. It really wasn't bad, but my philosophy is like, I don't want to bring attention to anything remotely negative at like somebody's doorstep. And I did say on the show, like, I took a little ding of like, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Brian is a prolific TikToker and you should follow him. I don't know the at. So you should start plugging your TikTok too, by the way.
I should.
What is the at?
It is Brian Cohen 28. I should change the name. I should get rid of the number.
The underscore. Cohen Brian.
I should just keep it consistent, right? Just keep it Cohen Brian underscore. Maybe I'll change it to that.
Brand building. Here we go. Yeah. But I'm a fan of Brian's prolific challenge TikToks. And so he has started to cut some clips, which is great. And then he cut a clip of me saying last week, like, Olivia, like, we support not chasing men, even though you did chase men on Love Island. And then Brian had a great line about you don't need a man and tags her. I'm like, get out of here.
You know, it's funny. This is now the second time though I tagged her. I tagged her in the one I did a couple weeks ago during the very slow elimination. It's not a like, not a comment, not a retweet. I put it on Twitter too. How many freaking matches is Olivia really getting on social media? That if she gets tagged in a clip from a podcast or the show that she can't acknowledge it. I felt kind of hurt. Like, well, come on, give me some love.
Oh my God, men are so cringe.
But I'm very upset because tonight I've been working on a TikTok, and I just cannot find I can't find the correct audio for it, and it's like very upsetting. Like, I know what the audio I want, but like the TikTok search engine, I thought it was really good, but searching for this a specific audio is really, really frustrating sometimes. I almost messaged TikTok Nicole to help me out. I might do that after it, but I have like a great concept of a TikTok. So hopefully by the time this this posts, it is on Brian Cohen 28 on TikTok. So
we can't get a preview. We have to wait.
I'll storyboard.
Where are your priorities? Where are your challenge priorities, Ryan?
Let me storyboard it because this episode is really the only thing we did have to talk about is the draft. So
we have so much excess shit to discuss. So I'm glad this is perfect. Nothing is going to be about this episode.
So I have the vision in my head of how they're talking about how, oh, it's like one really juggernaut team and you got like the misfit team over here. And I want to like do like a flashback. The Gauntlet 3 when like the rookies won because Big Easy died, and then War of the Worlds 2 when it was like Jordan, TP, and the Little Misfits and they beat, and when Apolly died, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is like a flashback of what's coming ahead, and I want to do the TikTok song of Taylor Swift being like I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending, but there's a remix to it where it's like I like the ending, and I've been searching for that specific audio and I just can't find it and it's killing me. So if anyone's listening to this and I haven't posted on TikTok yet and you can find that audio, please send me a TikTok of that audio so I can use it.
All I can see is the Charlie Day meme of like the red string on the bulletin board. He's like, but there's a remix and I cannot find it.
No, I had like such a brain blast while I was watching it, the way they were like talking about how the teams look so uneven. This is like a disaster. One team's so much stronger. Like, we've seen this play out multiple times on the show. It's all set up for like just like Jordan, Tori, and like Nerisse as like a team of three to like win the final against like the entire team on the other side. It's like all set up for them for the taking. I just want to like get that preview out ahead of time so I can call my shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love this. Again, sometimes I give compliments and they seem sarcastic. I'm being very serious. People should follow Brian on TikTok. He's a prolific TikToker. He's the PVS. He's the Plainview Sue. What Plainview Sue is to Twitter, Brian Cohen is to TikTok.
It's on my Twitter profile now, too.
What? Read it out. What is it? Or no, we're still teasing that. I feel like
right.
We teased that last a couple weeks ago to drive traffic to Cohen Bryant underscore.
It's a living, breathing organism. I put her bio, so now it's in there.
I don't have. Should I solicit submissions? I don't have a Twitter bio.
Yeah, so you haven't in years. You had no. You've had a few things pop up along the time. I think did you have like an Akiva quote in there once for a little while?
One time I had to do a Wooga because I lost a bet on GOG.
Yeah, that's, maybe that's what it was.
I had a Puya quote for a long time, and that was
maybe
good.
That's what it was.
But then I changed it, and then it's like you can't really go back. So I just deleted it. But if anyone has any suggestions, you know, what do I care? That's not bad. What do I care is pretty good. Nolan Lance wrote to us a nice comment. And one of the things they said were Brian was on one. And you remain on one. We can confirm.
I love one of the reviews said, I love when Brian listens to the official podcast and reports back his information. I'm like, sure, give me credit for something I don't do. I love that.
I actually watched a clip from the podcast this week. So that's a little teaser. We did a little social media this week. So had to fill in some of the gaps. Programming note at the top so that people tune out before the end. They don't complain. We will not have an episode. We will not have a next week. Next week is canceled for everyone.
We will not have a next time on.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. We didn't discuss that. I could do it in 2 weeks. So, at least one of us will be here over the Christmas time.
It is so perfectly us, though, to take the week that is not impacted by Christmas and New Year's off, like the week before that. That's an interesting move. Although that is kind of what I'm doing for work. So I guess I can't complain.
And Thanksgiving for the people who brought you a Thanksgiving record.
That's very true.
A December 15th hiatus.
We can make Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's work, but not the middle of December.
But you know, that's fine. I feel like most podcasts take a hiatus on the holidays, and we were there for you. And now your regularly scheduled programming will be there. The Survivor finale will just happen. So Rob will have 6,000 hours of content.
Right, that's
and
true.
You won't even miss us.
Mm-hmm. Look, maybe all the other challenge official pods will take the last 2 weeks of December off and we'll skyrocket in the rankings when we're churning out the content.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a question. Speaking of churning things out,
sure.
I watched this episode and noticed that it's episode 9. I know, right? Shocking. And I like sort of had a reaction, but I don't know what the reaction was. Like, is the season moving quickly or is it moving slowly or is the answer both?
So I think it's been moving at a pretty good pace. I worry about what it's about to take a turn to now, but I feel like on a normal pace season, this would be, you know, we're more than halfway through. I think we knocked out like at least half the teams. I feel like there's been a steady, you know, strategy talk, and I feel like it hasn't slowed really. And also, but I don't know, but I'm in the minority because I'm liking the season. I feel like other people hate it. But now I worry that's probably going to move towards like guy day, girl day with the teams and such and stuff like that. So I worry that's going to slow it down. Because I feel like we talked at the start of the season, it's supposed to be like 20 episodes, right? So like just at the halfway part.
If somebody wrote to us, I think like 23 episodes, and it was like a minor part of the comment, and you were like, can we go back to that? Was that 23? Is that an estimation? I was like, I don't know.
I mean, 23 episodes, that's still like so much more. Like, there's 14 people left right now, or 16 people left. I don't even know how we're supposed to get 14 more episodes. That's crazy.
I mean, the other headline besides just the draft itself is the format, where we speculated at the very, I think in the preview podcast, or do we even have a preview? First episode, whatever we
first
did.
First episode.
That it wouldn't be ride or dies all the way to the end. But I think last week we considered a reshuffling of pairs. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, a la whatever, what season was it where they could like, if you won the elimination, you could choose to like switch pairs so it would go that way.
Spies, Lies, or Allies? I think it was that one.
Or it would be like, you know, individuals. I did not see two teams coming, although it was really right there.
It was, and especially because even though it's like ride or die, it is a lot of like family connections, and this is exactly what they did for Bloodlines. Like they pulled the plug on Bloodlines quicker to the teams. I think that was after only like 3 or 4 weeks. But this is exactly what they did. They morphed into teams with the Bloodlines on opposite sides. And I'm curious if we actually are going to single elimination or if there is going to be some level. I don't think there is based on how they're talking, the connection to your ride or die. Because in Bloodlines, no matter like which team won or lost, if your bloodline went into elimination and they lost, you go home with them. I don't think that's what they're hinting at here. It seems like they are very much like against each other, and it's two teams, and it'll probably be one-on-one eliminations. But I mean, I can't completely rule something like that out.
Well, I guess it depends on what they want the final to look like, because I still feel like it did kind of feel like they're going to want these teams based on like the edit you're cluing in on for your TikTok. I agree that they're kind of setting it up for like the underdogs to win, which would suggest that it's going to continue in a paired teams as the way out. I almost feel like, though, that they're going to want to go back to the bloodlines, like that the bloodlines thing is not over. Not bloodlines, but ride or die is not over. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that means, I think they're just going to go to a two like pairings, and it'll be, there'll be some like decision making, and you can choose to, if your ride or die is still in the game, maybe you'll sync up with them or you'll pick somebody right. else. I don't know. I just feel like it's still going to be pairs, but I'm never right.
Yeah. I would love to guess and speculate, but I could see completely other option, just riding it all the way to the end. And at the team final, I can definitely see them, whoever's left at the end, you have your choice if you want to be your ride or die, or you pick someone new. Which we also kind of speculate, I feel like, at the beginning of like when it came down to the final, would the ride or die want to do it with their partner? So I certainly could see something like that. I could see it just get to the end and completely individual. I would say that's probably the third option. I don't see that happening as much lately, but that's certainly in the mix as well.
Yeah, I think what they want is they want people to be voting in their own blood ride or dies, or at least having that choice, like Amber kind of setting that up with Chauncey in the night out, where Amber heroically is like, if it comes down to it, you can vote me in. Unclear why anyone on their team would expect Chauncey to vote Amber in, or even like feel like they could trust him as a result. Like, I feel like that was sort of a misdirect. Like, I wouldn't trust someone more because they voted their girlfriend into an elimination. But anyway, I think that's going to be the preferred mechanism. So like, unlike a bloodlines, like you can't be linked to your ride or die if they go in, if they want you to vote them in.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, I agree. That's why I really don't think that is going to happen, but just based off precedent, we can't just completely rule that out as a possibility.
Do you think we're losing the draw, or do you think like the rest of the men on the losing team will have to draw? I mean, the teams are kind of small.
It's a good question. My gut says it'll be kind of like an old school format where like the losing team votes someone in, and then the winning team votes someone from that team in to go against each other. And I assume there'll be I don't think we'll have two eliminations. So I think it'll be men's day, women's day, depending on every other week. I think that's how it's going to go down. Although it would be, because I mean, it would be tough to do a draw. I mean, it would be a draw of like two people. So I don't see the draw happening.
Well, right now, if one team, are there four men and four women, or it's three men and three women?
It's four and four.
So you could at least do, you kind of can't do a draw. But
I mean, you could do it for like the first week, right? You could do like the winning team votes one person in, and then the remaining people do the draw. But then after 1 week, it's like, then it's just done. So I would imagine it's like the losing team votes someone in, and the winning team votes someone on that, the losing team in, to go against each other.
It is so funny. I mean, that makes sense, but it's so funny because it's such an inconsistent mechanism. Like, to go from having basically two house votes from no house votes in the mechanism. Yeah. But, you know, who am I? I'm not mad at it. I like the two teams. I'm interested.
I've always been a fan of two teams. I've always liked those seasons. I've even liked three teams when I get crazy. But yeah, I've always liked the team format. I think it creates good intrigue. I don't necessarily think here, because again, but I still feel like I'm in the minority. I have been liking this season. I like the pairs. I feel like the last few weeks have set up a lot of interesting drama to see how it would have played out. Like, I think Fessy winning this week, and like what him and Nerisse, what him and Mariah would have done, would have been pretty interesting to see how it played out. I feel kind of bummed that we don't see that. I just feel like we've invested a lot. Even like this episode, the first like 15 minutes, we basically did like a check-in on every single pair and like how their relationships stack up with each other, how they're doing. And it's kind of all going down the wayside a little bit. I mean, I guess there's obviously still those baked-in connections, but like the pairs themselves and like the journey they've been on this season is very much minimized now that we're going to this team format.
Yeah, that's why the voting mechanism has to be some, you know, like even Nelson, kudos to Nelson when he's strategizing with Fessel, he's saying like, you know, you don't just want your friends on the team. You want your friends on the other team too. So it's like your ride or die is automatically on the other team. And I think that's where they're going to drive home, like, that dynamic. And I think that's almost preferred because, like we speculated last week, I don't think a lot of these teams would have broken up if they had the option. So at least this, like, right, forces the breakup, even though I agree, mm-hmm, the montage of where everybody's at and how much everyone loves each other was, like, very much wasted, at least for this episode. But I think we're setting up, like, the weeks to come, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree. I think I mean, Devin's, you know, as Devin said, it's the classic mid-season shakeup. So we'll see if this, hopefully people get a little more into it if they haven't already done.
One thing just to talk through some overflow from last week, Nelson comes in and, like, kisses Olivia and she, like, slightly resists and then is like, I'm fine with it. He's good. Like, I know it was hard for him. And Bananas is out there, the voice of the audience. You're not even going to make this guy work for it. How did you think Olivia played this with Nelson?
I was surprised it went as quickly to her forgiving him. But I wasn't surprised at the end result, just because I feel like that's kind of been Olivia's vibe with Nelson all season, that it hasn't been, like, as, like, intense, that if he did something like that, even just how she was acting last week kind of indicated of how she was going to react this week. I think if she went so over the top to beg and say, like, you're my man, like, you could never do this to me, I feel like she would have a very different reaction this week. But the fact that she was more level-headed and calm about it last week pointed to this scenario playing out. But again, I still, even as we talked about last week, I wish she played it up a little bit more, even, like, one-on-one, just to, like, make me feel a little bit guilty. But I was not surprised at the end result.
Yeah, I mean, I think to the clip you cut last week, like, I would have liked to see her apply guilt before, when it was possible to affect the result. But once, mm-hmm, she's decided, like, to lay low and say she's not going to be mad about it, I think it's great gameplay. It's like getting blindsided, mm-hmm, at tribal council and showing up the next day saying, like, no problem. And I do believe, like Nelson, like Anissa says, like, you played it exactly right. I mean, query whether Jay and Michelle were the right target for Nelson, but you played it exactly right in the sense that you maintained your friendship and you kept your girl. And that is a dance I think only Nelson could have achieved. Maybe Bananas too, but, like, really, really artfully. It was, like, so inartfully done that it became artful. And I don't blame Olivia for not being mad.
So it's funny. I feel better about how Nelson and Olivia's stand based off their conversation than Nelson and Fessy or Fessel. Like, I'm not ruling out Fessel cutting Nelson at a brutal spot later in the game if it comes down to it, based off what he talked about in confessional, how he wants to do anything he can to win, crying about how he wants to, like, be at the level of Bananas and Jordan. Like, I don't know what the scenario in these, like, the team format would lend itself to have this play out, but push comes to shove, Fessel's going to choose his best game move to win over Nelson. I don't think this changes that.
No, so I completely agree that Fessel is disloyal in the context of the game. Not saying anything about his friendship outside the show, but Fessel is not loyal to Nelson, period. I agree with everything we said last week that it was the wrong decision for Nelson's game. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of, like, what Nelson can control, right? Like, Nelson's target went home, and his girlfriend's not mad, and he didn't have to, like, do a quote unquote disloyal move in front of the house, which he wouldn't have wanted to do, and Fessel could have used as an excuse. Like, at least I agree that Fessel will do anything it takes, but at least he's made it difficult. He didn't do the Anissa, mm-hmm, and give him a reason kind of bit.
Like, let's, like, flash forward, like, let's say we're at the elimination before the final, and somehow it's like Fessy's, like, the key vote, and he has to decide whether he's voting in Nelson or, let's say, Bananas. And he has to think about who he wants to be running a final with him. And they know it's going to be teams. Like, I'm not ruling out him being like, look, I really want to win, and I want to run this final with someone who's won a lot before, and I want to run it with Bananas, and I'm willing to, like, risk losing Nelson if it means doing that. Like, I'm not ruling that, like, scenario type or something similar to that playing out.
I mean, he did it with the team. He did it with the team pick. He picked Bananas, mm-hmm, over Nelson. So, yeah, I agree, but just still got to give a kudos bar to Nelson, because I don't think a lot of people would have been able to get out of this situation unscathed. Now, again, like, is it a bad move because Fess will still stab you in the back and Olivia will ride for you? Yeah, for sure. Like, if you're going to risk one of them going home, I'd rather Fess will go home. Plus, I'd rather not run the final against Fessel. So what a great attempt at getting him out.
Right. Absolutely.
But you talked about Fessel's speech about coming up short and the conversation he has with Mariah. On the official challenge podcast, Devon cut a clip and he said something really interesting. He said that he plays like he's not going to get a call back. He said, like, he says, I play like I want to win this one. I play it like Big Brother. Other people talk about their confessional accounts and their screen time and whatever. And that really made a lot of sense to me and made me respect Fessel's game a bit more, because there are so many things Fessel does where I'm just like, he's so short-sighted. I wrote that in my notes this week. I forget what he was when he was making the teams. Like, he just operates so deeply in the present. But when you frame it like that, where it's like, I am playing like I'm never going to play again. I'm playing like this is my one chance. And we don't get that from anyone on the challenge. And that's almost really refreshing.
I wonder if him being sent home for that very seemingly mediocre fight, where not just like the fact that it could just be taken away like in any given season, but I wonder if that like reshaped how he thinks production thinks of him. Because if I'm him and I think, oh, I'm this big star that Cassidy really wants on the season, if I'm that level of bananas, like, they're not going to send him home for doing something like this. So the fact that they're willing to send me home for that, maybe they're not that high on me and like I really might not get a call back. Like, I don't know, maybe production doesn't think of me as like a great big star on the show that's going to be on as much as I want for the next 5 to 10 years. So like, I wonder if that really shook him, that production was willing to set him home for something seemingly as small as what he did.
That's a really, really, really interesting theory. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. And that coupled with his whole story about his like NFL career, right? Like his football career too, gone in an instant and an injury. Like that's really been his story, right? Like the season you're referencing and then like the final he thought he would have won with Casey and she goes out in an injury. And his entire like athletic career. So Fessel has both on screen and off screen had things like dissolve in his hands or just out of reach. And I think you're right. I think that probably does lead to these, this like his approach to the game. And just looking through it with that lens, I think again, like makes some of his gameplay that previously didn't make sense to me, make a little bit more sense.
I've always enjoyed Fessel on the show. Like, I feel like between, like, there's always been, like, lumping him in with Josh of, like, not wanting any of them on, any of the Big Brother people on the show. I've always thought Fessel plays much more well, much better on the challenge than on Big Brother, where I feel like Josh was more better suited for Big Brother than the challenge. So, like, I like him being in this world. I'm very happy every time he is on the cast list, because I think he just, his presence brings a lot to it. So I'm glad when he's in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, having strategy that doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean I don't want you on the show. Just well, like
it probably adds more of you on the show.
And I think like we talk about having a mix of contestants, like some people who aren't that athletic, like Anissa this week is like, I'm not the best on the field, but I'm smart, or like people who are willing to hook up or drink or party or start fights or compete, like whatever. We want a range. And Fessel, again, his mindset is like nobody else's mindset. Nobody else on the show is not thinking about returning.
Right. Especially someone of his like veteran status. I'm sure like rookies and stuff like that have a different mindset too. So for sure.
And then Megan wants to know, was Mariah's pep talk to Fessy really heartwarming to anyone else, or am I just a sap?
It was sweet. I didn't really get, I feel like her analogy was kind of something I would say that, like, I feel like she messed up a little bit where, I think she said, like, you'll fall down 1,000 times, but get up 100 times. Like, doesn't that mean you still lose 900 times?
It's a little bit like me.
Like, I feel like that's something I would say, where I was trying to, like, sound, like, articulate and, like, you know, like, yeah.
So what do you say? What is, let's, like, correct the analogy. What's the phrase, Brian?
Well, it's like, you should be getting up more times than you fall, right? Isn't that, like...
Right, so say it. Give me a pep talk. I'm telling you that I'm like tired of losing.
You know, you might lose 9 times, but you're going to win 10. Or even like win more, but win maybe be better than 10 and 9. You're going to lose 9, but you're going to win 50. Give you like a better winning percentage.
Yeah, Okay. No. Yeah, you're 100% right. The expression is sort of like fall down 9 times, get up 10, and then you don't fall the 10th time.
Right. But also, I kind of want to be better than 10 and 9. I don't know.
Well, then you don't fall. Well, falling is different.
But then you don't fall again. I guess right. So. Then you don't fall again. You're just standing up straight.
Now I'm overthinking it. I'm like, is Brian going to cut this clip? Like,
yeah, this is my power. This is like Allie from the editing room. I got a little power now. What part am I going to cut?
Oh, yeah, you have a lot of power until I text you 5 seconds later, like, snitch! I'll delete it! I shouldn't make fun of you. Like, I appreciate that you untagged her.
Oh, man.
It's funny because, like, how many seasons has Fessel done? 3?
Is it only 3? I feel like it's at least 4 or 5.
I don't know. He said 2 or 3 times. Like, oh, he's not even sure. Let me just quickly look it up before I say this. But even regardless, it's like, you're tired of taking L's. Like, talk to Leroy and get back to me. Like, mm-hmm. He's relatively new to the challenge. Let's see.
Yes.
It says, I thought it was 8 seasons. It's 8 daily wins. This is his 4th season. He made the final 2 out of the 3 times so far.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is like Leroy and like Battle of the X's level. He's not even like close. Like, this is Leroy circa 2010. Like, you got a long way to go.
But a lot of the greats don't win, Fessel. I think Fessel will 100% win a challenge. He could win this challenge.
He could. I mean, look, not to jump right ahead, but him and Mariah had just an incredible showing. Can't critique this one. This was the true mini final. And they slaughtered it.
I'll critique it. Here's why. Don't be calling it a mini final. We'll decide. I don't like it was said too many times. It's like when they start like you killed it or what did they start? Oh, when they started talking about Nelson's win percentage, yeah. like just let us as the fans, not us as the podcast, mm-hmm. like let us have something. I'm sure we actually got it from them, but it was overused.
Right. It's a little bit how I feel like the Spelling Bee got kind of ruined. I feel like that was sort of like not an inside joke, but I feel like it was more of the fans that loved it. And then once it became more of a thing on the show, it kind of got ruined a little bit. And I feel like it's kind of falling down that same rabbit hole.
Once the parents are saying it's lit, mm-hmm. it's no longer lit.
Right.
Once you figured out it's giving, it was no longer giving. It gave.
It's true. It wasn't even called Thanksgiving anymore.
All right. Before we get to the challenge, which I do want to talk about, and I don't think we need to go all the way into all of these pairs, but I have a couple questions about Nanas and Banani. Nani mm-hmm. and Bananas. They're like reflecting on the season and saying like, it's kind of crazy. No one's gunning for us. It's a miracle. Like, have I lost my edge? It's an absolutely excellent question. And I want to know from your perspective, one, why is nobody coming for Bananas and Nani? And 2, Murray writes to us deep into their rewatch, coming from War of the Worlds 2, but also about the season. I'm curious to see what kind of edit he's going to get on this season, meaning Ride or Die. It almost seems like we're getting a more balanced portrayal of Bananas. He's not hogging the screen time. He's just another character, albeit one who appears to be a giant-sized frat boy that hasn't ever grown up. Drag him. I haven't mm-hmm. missed seeing him on my screen the last few seasons. Do you think this is a one-off for Bananas, or is something of a is it something of a comeback for him?
I do think he's trying to be a little bit different for Nani. I feel like he's not wanting to risk being more out there and making himself more of a target to try to help Nani, to try to get her as far as she can, try to get her to a final, try to win a final. So I do think he's trying to be a little bit more low-key. I wonder if the fact that, you know, he has a little bit of a fling with Mariah is also keeping him a little bit more occupied. He's not, you know, stirring shit up at the middle of the night. He's in bed with Mariah. Like, I feel like that's probably helping. And I think the format's kind of helped too, because Jay and Michelle made themselves such a target that they kind of took over that mantle. And then even in the draw, they were in the mix twice. They just happened to be the people that saved themselves twice. Like, if they weren't chosen to save themselves, we could be talking a little bit different. And then Casey being on the show helps a lot. Like, Nani's got coverage with her. Like, they're kind of like a team of four almost with Casey being there too. So all those factors all kind of play into it to an extent. Also, they also joined, what is it, episode 2, where they're the first team, so they kind of missed 2 weeks. So there's that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think everything you said is exactly right. They have the perfect sort of social situation, the other teams, to like sort of ward away people really coming for them. I also think they're not the biggest threat in the house, like as a team. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how it goes with these separation pairings, but, and like, I have nothing but respect for Nani, but we saw what happened with Leroy. And I don't know why anyone would think it'd be different with Bananas. Like, I don't think now Bananas and Nani have been quote unquote throwing all of these challenges, but they really S'd the bed in the mini final. And it did at least for half of it look like they were trying. So it's also just like together, they're not that big of a threat. Now, don't cut this clip when they win the season, but.
I think that's absolutely totally fair too.
Do we get a sense that this is going to be routine and Bananas is just back like when CT was back? Or do you think he's going to be picking and choosing?
That's a good question. I would guess picking and choosing because I feel like a lot of the reason he did this season was for Nani. I feel like he said that and I kind of believe that. In fact, he only took one season off. He jumped right back in with her. I kind of believe that. I feel like it's more picking and choosing. But I mean, I guess it also depends if anything else big pops off in his normal life. Like if any of his shows or something else like that picks up, maybe he'll try to focus on that. But I mean, once you stop picking up the phone, it stops ringing at some point. So he probably wants to make sure he's keeping himself available.
Yeah. I mean, it's giving like the Jeff Probe show and Jeff, he didn't leave Survivor, but Jeff started doing the Jeff Probe show. It was sort of like, if this takes off, like, is this going to be the end of him hosting Survivor? Because this isn't better gig to like, just host your own show. And then it didn't, and he's back and nobody's worried about him leaving, like knock on one. Like, I don't know that any of Bananas' other endeavors became like extremely successful. I think his podcast about the challenge is probably like one of his more successful ventures. And it helps, I think, to come back on and like continue to be relevant. So I'm not knocking him. Like, I'm happy he was willing to come back after his false retirement.
Yeah, look, I think he enjoys it. He seemed like he genuinely is having fun this season, for sure. I think he enjoys the competition and trying to win. The paycheck, I'm sure, doesn't hurt. And it's not like he's going on Survivor. He's, like, starving his body and, like, making himself miserable for a month. Like, he's in a nice house. He gets to go to all these different countries. And, I mean, not a bad gig.
Yeah, I mean, nice work if you could get it. All right. Let's talk about Jordan and Tori, because this really was a bummer for me. We first get Tori's perspective of like, she's getting feelings again. They're spending time in bed. They're flirting. They're, you know, reconnecting. From Jordan's perspective, it's comfortable. It's like a nice pair of sweatpants. And it absolutely in no way means that they're going to get back together. This is just easy. And, you know, I don't know if people are expecting us to come hard at Jordan here or Tori, or I just actually feel sad for both of them and this entire situation, and then all of us as well.
Yeah, it's a really brutal spot. Because I think, as Tori said, I think later on, she's like, if you know, when you break up with the next, normally, like, you can just like unfollow them on social media and then you have no connection to them. Like, here, the fact that you are living together 24/7, obviously, this isn't like breaking news. Like, this is just like a brutal, brutal way to go about dealing with like an ex, and to have them in your face at all times. And I'm not even blaming, like, Jordan can, if he wanted to like hook up with someone else, if Tori wanted to hook up, I mean, Tori did hook up with someone else on a different season. So like, I don't think there's anything wrong to it. I think Jordan probably didn't really respect how he was maybe doing a little bit, or like how open and honest he was with Tori, but maybe he felt, I didn't want to like rub it into her face. There's no good way for either of them to go about this. Like, I think they're both in the right in their feelings, because it's just a very uncomfortable situation, and I felt bad for both of them.
I can see this exactly making sense from both of their perspectives, and therefore, and not making the other person's perspective not making sense. Where, like, even from the beginning, like, Tori saying like, "Oh, it's so cute." He like mentioned that like Miso, their cat together, is like still his daughter, and like that becomes very meaningful to her, and is like part of the story, the world building, that like maybe they'll reconnect. And that was like probably an absolute, just like on its face, comment from Jordan about like, "Yeah, I love that cat. That's my cat." Like, period. You know, like, there is no like family. There is no. It's just like, we had a cat together, and I didn't disown my cat. Josh Green raised a point that you mentioned, and I was thinking about when we were watching. I'm all for anybody getting back out there on their terms after a relationship. Well, I'm not a Jordan fan. Isn't extremely hypocritical of Tori to not be okay with Jordan hooking up with Nerese when she was with Fessel and Cabo a few weeks after her and Jordan break up. And that's, you know, yes. And I think Tori is saying that, like, from Tori's perspective, this is entirely different. They're on good terms. They're together. They're in the house. And Jordan sort of doing this on the side without talking to her about it. I think the edit sort of made it seem like Jordan and Nerese were more open in front of Tori than they actually were. Because when Jordan shows up in the confrontation, he kind of denies it. He's like, we're not a thing. So I do think he was sort of moving a little sketchily about it. But like you said, what's the good way to explain it to her? So like he was trying to be a little bit discreet about it. From my real perspective, I'd be absolutely ballistic if I were Tori. Like, I think it is so disrespectful, but they're not together. And Jordan, frankly, wants to disrespect her because he felt disrespected by her. It's just a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one big point is, I think they're kind of vague. Is like, if they actually, if Tori and Jordan had hooked up, like, I think if they were just friendly to each other on the show and making, like, cute comments about like the cat or whatever like that. But I think if they actually did hook up, which I think like they did, I feel like that's what they've kind of intimated at. I feel like that kind of changes it. Like once you re-hook up with your ex, I feel like then it should almost be off guards to then hook up with anyone else on the show for that season. Like, I feel like that should have ended. Like if Jordan just came in here and was like friendly to Tori and then a few weeks in starts to have a little bit of a thing with Nerese, I feel like that's very different than if something happened between them and then he does something with Nerese. Like, I mean, look, their exes, like, he doesn't have to not do it. But I think that makes it pretty worse.
I'm willing to accept the narrative that they haven't hooked up, but I also don't think, I agree with you that if they were the friendly and the cat, I think, like, if all we know is all that happened, it's still too much in terms of naked cuddling and even more importantly, I love you and I want to continue to see you after the show. Like,
yeah,
if that and Jordan didn't deny saying that. And he was like, I do love you. And so it's just like, you know, you can't just say things if you have nothing no intention of moving with them behind it. It's just like, again, it was like seeing two people who could like totally tell you their version of the story in a plausible way that made sense and is accurate to like the facts at hand. And yet they are completely opposite stories. It just sucks.
What did you make of Amber, like, telling Tori? Because I think Tori saw them kind of cuddling and left the room because of that. And I felt like Amber was, like, rubbing it in or, like, hoping to start something by telling Tori. Like, oh, did you see that Jordan's, like, all up over Nerese in there? And she's like, yeah, that's why I left.
It was weird, for sure. I mean, she, like, shows up armed with the information. Tori does request it twice, but Amber knew what she was doing. But Amber is a messy bitch who loves drama, you know? It's just like, who isn't? Who amongst us? But it was weird. I agree.
It was weird. It was very odd. I was like, oh, maybe. And I see it a little bit also now with the Amber stuff. That was a little bit weird.
What's also weird, I agree with you there. What's also weird to me is like the way that Jordan talks about Nerese is very strange. And like, if I'm Nerese, I'm not thrilled watching this back where she's like, we have a vibe, like, you know, we were eyeing each other. He comes, says goodnight, like, we have a thing, and, like, I don't want to step on Tori's toes, whatever. The way Jordan characterizes it is, like, it is so nice to have a physical interaction with someone that you don't think, I mean, he didn't say you don't think anything about, but, like, that your brain turns off, and there's no drama, and I don't have to think about it. And, like, I get what he's saying. It's, like, a no-consequence hookup with someone you don't have history and drama with, and you'll never see again. But, like, it's not even like he's like, I have feelings for her, and so, therefore, I want to act on it, and I don't care if I hurt Tori. To just kind of, like, take a very casual hookup because you want physical contact when you're kind of getting that physical contact from Tori is mess.
Yeah, it seems like they're both, like, very much still trying to get over, like, their breakup. And don't really know how to do it, especially on national TV, in each other's faces with other people involved, which is totally fair.
Here's door number three. Like, ooh, ding dong. I feel like someone's going to come in. It was like Jerry Springer or whatever. Like, Jordan was supposed to be on the show with Naya. What? And like, I think largely the challenge community has speculated that whatever flirtationship occurred with Naya was like a mutual branding rehabilitation for the two of them together. Nothing is more like goes weighs heavier in that column than Jordan was supposed to arrive on a show that he knew his ex fiance was going to be on with his sort of will they, won't they girlfriend, and instead starts hooking up with a third person from Are You the One?
Well, Naya wasn't from Are You the One.
No, Nerys.
Like, right.
What was his plan? Like, is he with Naya? Is he not with Naya? Are we not discussing Naya? Like, I just kind of don't. He's got a lot of special connections with a lot of people.
He does. He's a connection builder. I don't know. What can you say? He collects all these nice connections. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the Naya thing was super weird on All Stars, right? Their dynamic. It seemed like they were more than friends, but wouldn't admit it to each other or the show. So who the heck knows what their real relationship status is? It seems like certainly not together based on how Jordan's acting, but maybe they are. I don't know.
I'm ready to be like, to accuse Jordan of using, I mean, not using, like, I think it might be accurate. Like, I'm willing to think that he's like saying, like, I can't do another public relationship. Like, what happened with Tori was like terrible. So, like, not, you know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like he could be working that angle with everyone. He's the new Johnny.
There you go. The future of the challenge? Oh, the other Johnny.
The future of getting absolutely wrecked at the reunion and have all your relationships put on blast.
Yeah. Do you think, A, do you think there's a reunion? And B, do you think Johnny is invited?
Sorry, I decided to eat some sprinkles inexplicably. What?
You think if there was a reunion, Johnny would be there?
I mean, that's an excellent question. When you say if there's a reunion, do you think there's not going to be one?
I feel like there is. Is there always a reunion? I guess there is. I guess there is. Maybe I'm thinking about other shows. But yeah, I guess there'll be a reunion. Do you think Johnny will be there?
I mean, Nerys is pissed at Johnny. And I think Nerys will be there. Maybe he's like a Skype in.
Is he from America?
I think so.
I wonder what the reunion will be. Maybe it'll be in England this year. Who knows?
Maybe you'll go to the reunion.
Yeah, unlikely.
All right, let's talk about the daily. That's all I have from the retrospective.
All or nothing. A 6-mile course that TJ teases. You definitely want to win this one, so don't throw it, because the winning team has the most power that they've ever been this season. So a big decision looming. It is kind of a mini final. There's multiple checkpoints, 6-mile race, a few puzzles, a few carrying heavy things and moving them across a field. Classic final stuff. So it was I think it lived up to his name as a mini final.
Yeah. It's true. I don't know. Like, I don't know really what to say. I think it kind of it seemed like Fessel and Mariah and Nelson and Nerys were like the hungriest to me in the final. Like you said before, it was an absolute blowout from Fessy and Mariah. I want to talk about Bananas and Nani's performance, because I'm on Bananas' Twitter right now, and he tweeted like pictures of him laying down during the puzzle and said, I'm playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Is that him alluding to having thrown this one also? And if so, what an idiot. Like, why would you throw this one?
I could get behind him throwing some of the other ones, but I would be very surprised if he threw this one. I think he tried to outsmart it. Like, sometimes he does. Sometimes he outsmarts some of these challenges, some of these dailies by, with his experience. I think he tried to outsmart it by putting the barrels on the side and thinking they could roll to the finish line. I don't know. Like, that, he tried to, like, get one over on everyone, and it failed miserably. And then they finished last. But I could not imagine him choosing not to try in this one.
They did fall apart on the puzzle. I think Nani and Bananas failing to do a puzzle isn't shocking to me, or like totally unbelievable, but I don't know. I'll say this. I didn't like it. I didn't like his attitude. I didn't like laying down. I didn't like laughing. I didn't like Nani laughing at it. And like, I get it that at some point you're so far behind, it is just like, it is what it is, and better than like screaming at each other. But it's sort of like what Nani complained about Bananas doing in the challenge a few weeks ago. Like, act like you want to be here. And that's what CT, I think, continues to do. Like, CT shows up like Fessy shows up. Like, I want to win the ones I want. Everyone I'm on, I want to win. And, like, I'm just not getting a winning spirit from Bananas, except in the confessionals, which are, like, rehearsed. So I just, like, I'd like to see him show up a little bit more.
I'm also, it's a weird vibe between them two, between Bananas and Nani. Like, I don't know, like, the chemistry between them feels super weird. It feels like they're each trying to convince each other and the show that they're closer than they are. Like, I believe they are very close, but it doesn't seem like they each believe it, or like, if maybe it's more one-sided. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the way that Nani and Leroy talked about each other right before that final, like, each wanted to get the win for each other going to that final. Like, I felt that emotion and, like, how much they love each other and how much they both truly did want it for each other. I don't know. It just feels so forced between Bananas and Nani. Like, I'm not buying it as much.
That's fascinating. I didn't feel that way on the show, except that, like, the energy that Banana exerts in the challenges does not seem to equal, like, what he says to her and what she says to him. But when you compare it to Leroy and Nani, you're right. I don't feel how I felt about them. So, maybe you're onto something.
I don't know. It's odd. I can't, like, pinpoint it.
What did you think about the little doodad? That's not right. The mechanism where, you know, as you arrived at the sled checkpoint, you would drop 4 sandbags onto another team's sled who is not there yet. Meaning, if you get there first, you don't have to pull any sandbags.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like it didn't even, like, come back around that much, right? I feel like they were hoping, like, to sabotage people to be pissed about, but I didn't even notice, like, yeah, Tori and Devin got them, but I didn't notice they were, like, super mad, or, like, it didn't come back around. So I feel like they were hoping for more from that moment, but I think the problem is just Fessel and Mariah just killed it so much that anything else they put in its path kind of went to the wayside.
Yeah, I think they were trying to get a little juice out of the Devin and Tori, like, seemingly haphazardly throwing 2 bags on Anissa and Jordan. But you're right. And nothing ever came of it. I don't like it because it's like the rich get richer. The people in the lead sabo the people behind them. And it's, like, presumably that much harder to come back from, because, like, I don't love a runaway. But yeah. I mean, they're trying something new. I like they're trying something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fair. Like, give the people in first place banana peels, not, you know, red shells.
Yeah, exactly. I do also want to shout out, not only did Fessel and Mariah kill the physical part of it, but, like, go ahead, Fessy. Use the women that you DM to your advantage. I love it. You know, use what you know. That was very impressive in terms of stacking the tires from north to south or south to north.
Yeah, that was great. That was, like, my favorite Fessel confession, I think, of all time. It was, like, it was almost like a little bit of, like, his real personality, I feel like, was kind of, like, getting through. Like, he was I thought it was actually very funny. So that was great for him.
And to shout out, like, the part where they have to, like, scale the tires, he runs and jumps up and just does, like, a chin up of his entire body, like a body up, which I feel like there's expression for, but, you know, I'm not doing it, so I don't know. With ease after running 6 miles. Like, I just was like, wow. Fessel talks a lot about how he should have won, like, every final he's ever competed in or every challenge he didn't make the final on. And, like, shit, maybe he should have. Like, that was impressive. Yeah,
and I think, you know, these top 3 teams, the way it went down, I feel like this would have been a precursor if, like, this was the full final of all of these teams. I do think these are the top, not that it matters again anymore, but I feel like these were the top 3 teams best suited for a final. I think they were the most rebalanced, you know, they for endurance, for puzzles, for all the stuff. I think these were the top 3 teams.
I do think Jay and Michelle might have struggled a bit in, like, I'm saying this because we talked about Jay and Michelle being very well suited for a final, but how do you think they would have performed in this?
I think they would have done just fine. Like, I think coming into the season, I wouldn't think they would do all too well, but there's nothing how they've done the previous few dailies before they got eliminated would make me think that they wouldn't do well. Like, I think they absolutely would have been, like, I don't think they would have won, because I just think Fessel and Mariah did so well, but I think they would have been right there where Tori and Devin were, probably in, like, the 3rd or 4th spot.
Maybe so. Do you think this is the best match? So we find out that it's going to be Team Fessel and Team Mariah, and they're going to do a pick, but they're going to have the whole night to discuss it, and they're still going to get to deliberate. Is this the best metric that they were sort of like working it out beforehand? And do you think they came to an agreement, and or do you think it really came down to the schoolyard pick?
Well, I'll say this. I was ready to come on here and blast the show because I thought they were yada-yadaing it. I thought they were like going to show us what they were thinking and then just cut to the house. And then we were going to come back and see the teams. Like, I was like, wait, we don't even get to see the actual deliberation. We just see them fight over who gets bananas. I think that's the only thing we're going to see. So I was so relieved when we did at least see the picking go down. But yeah, I would say once it got to the zone, I feel like, well, I guess he couldn't be fully determined because they didn't know the order. Like, I think if the order was different, I think if Mariah was first.
Well, only if she decided to go, right, only if they were going to go left. Like, if they agreed, then they would just pick the people they agreed in whatever order.
Right. So, so if Mariah goes first, does anything change? Probably not, right? Because I guess, I think everything would go the same because she would still pick Jordan first in that situation. So, yeah, actually, yeah, it probably would all go down the same way. Yeah, I think they probably had it all mapped out by the time they got to the zone.
I mean, it was also a little confusing because in the night out, Fessel is saying, like, he's going to leave Mariah in the dark. He's going to, like, completely ignore the time pre-zone and just, like, go down in the sand and pick people. But then it does seem like in the zone, or in the interrogation, like, they do seem to have, like, a very legitimate strategy session. I loved the prop. I love that they gave them, like, a chess set with people's faces on them.
Yes, that was very cool. A plus for MTV there.
Like, I guess let's just get to the zone because yeah, I guess we don't need to talk about who they were going to pick. Natalie says, can you please discuss the super weird gender enforced snake draft they designed? Feels crazy that Fessel, a man, got to select two men before Mariah got another pick. If anything, it should have been the opposite. Not sure why it wasn't truly every other. Thanks. So what's your reaction to this draft?
Well, wait, I don't understand the question.
So Fessel picked bananas in his second pick and then Nelson in his third pick. He didn't go boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah. I thought they had to. Wait, that's not right.
That's what we saw.
Because Mariah had to pick a man first, I thought, right? And then Bessie had to pick a woman first. And then, am I crazy? I guess he could have picked whoever.
The order that we saw was Fessel picked Casey, Mariah got Kenny. Mariah picked Jordan, Fessel got Anissa. Fessel picked bananas, Mariah got Nani. Then Mariah picked Amber. Inexplicably, which we have to talk about, and Fessel got Chauncey, and then Fessel picked Nelson.
Yeah, so I guess maybe for your first pick, it had to be someone of the opposite sex, but then I guess you could have done anything you wanted. Which I guess is—I mean—that's not Fessel's fault that Mariah picked Amber.
It's certainly not. But I do think it's weird. Like, I think Fessel should have had to pick between Nerisse and Tori.
What I honestly think really messed up Mariah the most was, I think if you look at the teams, I think very clearly the biggest gap between the two partners is Casey and Kenny. Like, I think if you have the first pick of anyone, and obviously, like, that's why Tori and Devin went last. It's not obviously any indication of them individually. It's just really you're picking the gap between the partners. So, like, they're, you know, I would think Tori's probably slightly better, but Devin's a very good person to have on your team too, so I think it makes sense for them to be one of the last teams, or in this case the last team pick. But I think if you're looking at it completely, just who's that much better than their partner, Casey is absolutely the pick to go first. And I think I kind of wish Mariah was able to pick her. I think that kind of set up the board the rest of the way, is the fact that right off the bat you already have Fessel as a really strong guy, then you have Casey, who's probably the strongest woman in the group, and then really no matter who he ends up with as the next guy, it just sets that team up to already look like the powerhouse just because they're going to have Casey and Mariah is stuck with Kent.
That's interesting. It depends on what do we think is going to matter here. Like, is your ability like, are you going to need to go against your own team? Then I really don't want Anissa on my, like, because I was thinking the bigger gap is Jordan and Anissa in terms of winning dailies or winning the final if you're going to run the final with this team. But if you're going to compete against the girls on your own team, then maybe you want Amber and you don't want Anissa. And maybe, like, Kenny is going to get taken out by one of your bigger guys. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know what they should be thinking about. But if you are thinking about just, like, straight up challenge performance, I think there's a really big gap between Jordan and Anissa also.
There is. There would absolutely be the other big discrepancy for sure, especially when you think of how drastically it would do in a final. I think, you know, dailies and eliminations, it's much, much closer. But once you look long term, if you think these are the teams in the final, it's very drastic.
I think also, so Fessel gets, whether they agreed or not, Fessel gets Casey first. There's nothing Mariah could have done about that. I think Jordan is the correct next pick. I think Bananas is absolutely the correct next pick for Fessel. I think Amber, again, unless you want to have women on your team that you can beat in an elimination, I think Amber is kind of a crazy pick to send Chauncey over to Fessel.
Yeah, I think that's probably the spot. I mean, I guess there, just for the muscle mass, you go Nelson there, I think, right? I feel like that's really the spot where Mariah messed up. But again, I don't, like, I know the other, they're, like, Fessy's team's that much stronger, but I think having Jordan and Devin, and I think Mariah really showed out in this, in the mini final that can't get forgotten. Obviously, Amber's won a final that can't be forgotten. I do think they have good people. Like, it's not as drastic as it seems like it could be.
You're also going to, I agree, because I think everybody really in the game is very good and has different skill sets. So I agree generally, but also, like, you're going to get Amber for free. Fessel hates Amber. I think Mariah definitely was hindered by the fact that she had never seen the challenge before. You know, she's like, oh, my mom told me to stay away from Bananas, and she's getting all of her information from Fessel. But, like, Fessel's not going to pick Amber. Amber's going to fall to her in the last spot. You don't need to waste an early pick, your second pick overall, on Amber.
Yeah. No, look, I think if Mariah got the first pick and was able to do Jordan with Fessel taking Casey, and then she was able to take Bananas, if she was able to take Bananas after that, I think things look a lot differently. I think that was kind of the key swing of how this went down.
Well, she was never going to, I think that's also, she came into this loyal to Fessel. Like, she was never going to take Casey off of him, even if she had the first pick.
No, not Casey. If she was able to get Bananas instead of Amber in that spot.
Oh, yeah, but that was never going to happen. But yeah, I mean, and then I also think Horacio over Devin is interesting, because I think, I mean, Horacio, again, was made of him of the dailies, but I think, like, he really failed in this mini final. But
well, I think the problem was, and I think I kind of understand this, like, do you want Tori when you have Jordan? I think just their explosiveness, like, it could go really well, or how it looks at this very moment in time, it could go very bad. And, like, you need Jordan to be, like, your linchpin on your team. And, like, Tori is great in and of itself, but if they're going to sabotage and, you know, bring each other down, then that's, like, takes down the entire team. So I feel like that's, like, the predicament she was in, and I kind of get wanting to put Tori not on your team, unfortunately.
And look, you know what? Maybe you're right, because she also has Nerisse, but I do think Jordan and Tori would be able to work together because they're so damn competitive. But now that I'm looking at it, I've changed my mind. If you think you are going to go into eliminations against your own teammates, then Mariah has assembled the best possible team, because her only options for elimination are Nani, Amber, and Nerisse. And she's got Tori, Olivia, and Anissa on the other side, who will compete against each, and Casey will compete against themselves. Maybe that's the most brilliant strategy I've ever seen.
And look, honestly, the guys should be thrilled that Kenny's on their team, because if it is a guys, they girls day type thing, they add the absolute layup of layups of guys to go into elimination. Basically, I think all of them would wipe the floor with Kenny, you know, no matter what it is. So they should all be very happy to be on that side, as opposed to between Fessel, Bananas, Nani, and Chauncey. Like, obviously, like, you would think Chauncey would be the fourth of the four, but if you're looking at, like, a hall brawl type situation, like, I don't want to do that against him. So, I mean, those are, like, four powerhouses. So I think for Jordan, especially someone like Devin, should be thrilled with how this went down for him.
Honestly, the teams are so small. Maybe it's honestly going to be the winning team put someone on the losing team into elimination, and then everybody else of that gender draws.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Like, now that I'm looking at it, like, really, we're going to go down to, like, only three people are up for elimination already with just two teams. We'll say it'll be interesting to see. All right, but your team, team underdog. I'm team big.
Yeah, like, I just feel like, I just think this is just how this goes down, right? Like, I think if they were running a final tomorrow, yes, I would think Vessel's team would have a much better chance. But these are going to get whittled down. I think Vessel's team is going to win the majority of the dailies, and I think that's going to set up for Mariah's team to lose, you know, probably half the squad. And I think if it goes to a final, I think it'll be like seven from Vessel's team and three from Mariah's team. And I think I would take, based off how we see team finals go down, I would take the team of three, as long as it's Jordan's still in it. And if you have like Mariah and or Nerys or something, like if you have like a couple of good strong women, like I would take that team over seven people that are going to have to carry so much more weight, do so much more stuff. Like the finals are almost never skewed towards the larger teams.
No, and they can't be. I mean, the leaner teams do well. I agree with you.
I think you can make an argument they should be, because I think that was like the problem, right, with War of the Worlds 2, is like this one team dominated so much and they kind of made it almost too far in favor of a smaller team in a final. So I think you can make the argument that that larger teams should do better in the final, but the way the challenge does,
it's got to be scale. You can't physically require three people to carry the same, you know, like, I don't know. My heart goes out to the challenge creators. I think that it's very hard to make a quote unquote fair final for a team of seven versus a team of three, you know, or a team of two,
which is why it's probably likely, which is why it's probably likely it won't be a team final for that exact reason. It's just so much more difficult to plan, especially since you don't know like this far out. If they already had the final like in mind, like they would have to change so much differently if it is a seven versus three versus a, you know, five versus five. Like, I think it's much easier to plan if you know it's going to be a paired final. Like, you could just plan that out so much easier.
Yeah, my brain just broke. Okay, we'll see what happens. It's definitely some intrigue as we go into the next segment of this.
A-plus song choices. I tweeted this out also. I thought a lot of good. I love the I Will Survive as they were playing going to the draft. I love the Fall Out Boys. Playing me play going to the night out. Good stuff from MTV there.
I'm here for it. I agree. All right. So then. Drinking game?
Kyle was away this week. He messaged me. No drinking game this week. So that's it. Yeah, no drinking game.
Don't be stopped. Let's add some rules.
All right. I feel like we should do something for the team aspect. I would say, I'll do this one. If you vote in your ride or die.
What did you, I was trying to, I almost did that, but I thought that was the rule you added last week. Or was it anytime someone switched? You said anytime someone switches. I think
it was like, it was either that. Yeah, I think I might have said that. I also added that anytime you criticize the ride or die.
Okay.
But yeah, I tried to jump ahead. So let's take out leaving your ride or die and swap it with anytime you vote in your ride or die.
All right. I'm going to say anytime someone uses the phrase stacked. So I feel like we're going to get a continuation of the edit, which is that's the point I wanted to make. But my brain broke is like, I do think you're right that usually the like weaker seeming team will survive and come out of it, whatever. But like, it was almost so strange to me how hard they were trying to sell it that you might think over there has got all the champions, all the big boys. They've got 500 pounds combined over us. But we've got like heart. Mm. We've got like, I almost thought they were like doing that too much. But yeah,
right.
I mean, anytime they say stack, because I still think we're going to get that next week. So Colleen got in the mix. Her handle is at Colleen_the_mole. So I guess Jack didn't have to work that hard to figure out that she was the mole. She said, it's just sad how he fools people who really liked him. I'm okay with just having a good time, but I'm not okay with not being honest. I didn't know all the stuff from his past. That's not my business anyways. So I formed my own option and learned my quote, messy lesson, emoticon smile, throwback. Mm. Laurel got in the mix. Clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. Which now
Laurel or Yanni?
That's old. It's giving elderly. If there are three clap emojis, I'm just going to call it applause. So applause. Proud of you for speaking up. Applause in response to Mariah's tweet. We didn't really talk about Horacio and Olivia in the challenge, mm-hmm. but Olivia said, Horacio is the best soul. I truly love that I can freely speak how I feel, and he listens and takes accountability when needed. He really does care about me and my well-being more than I even realized at the time. He is most definitely not an asshole. And Laurel also tweeted, if anyone is coming for Horacio, make sure you're comfortable also dealing with me. I have his back.
Yeah, that was honestly surprising. Like, I feel like if this was like a 90 or 60 minute episode, the entire scene or scenario just ends on the cutting room floor. Like, it doesn't really add anything. They're not in elimination. They make up at the end. It doesn't impact any decisions. So I don't know what else it added.
It's giving nothing. To be honest, I don't even remember it. Like, people, like when I pulled these tweets, I was like, I don't really remember Scuffle.
Yeah, it was like a mini version of like Ninja blowing up on Turbo. A little bit like that. Very mini version, I should say. Very mini.
Well, I'm glad they worked it out. Nelly T hilariously said, a lot shit works in my head too, Johnny Bananas, with a cartoon of a gif of people rolling on barrels. Mm-hmm. And Bananas said, respectfully, I would have to disagree, Nelly.
How about Nelson saying, like, Nelson had a great line. I don't know if, I feel like he's like not even self-aware enough to like understand like this was like a very funny joke where he said something to the effect of like, this is why I don't really worry about dailies, I just want to win the show. And that was very funny.
We love Nelson. Todd Carnish has a request that I didn't let you know in advance, even though I did do it, but we'll get back in 2 weeks. Can you please start doing the rankings of eliminated contestants that you'd most like to see back in the future seasons? I always love this, and it helped me think about who I'm most interested in seeing. So Brian, 2 weeks from now, please come back with a list ready to discuss this.
We could do it now if you wanted.
Oh, that's fine. Honestly, I thought we were only going to do like 10 minutes on this episode. So I was like, oh, we'll do it now. But I was like, yeah, we've done an hour. But yeah, I mean, I'm prepared. If you want to do it, we could do it.
Look, this will be off the cuff. I'm pulling up everyone. I'm like, this will be my impromptu feelings about how I feel about everyone.
Me too. I spent like 30 seconds just reordering the names from Wikipedia. While you think about it, I'll run through my mail list. From least excited to most interested, whatever. This is not necessarily likely. This is who I want to see back if I'm the producer.
Yeah.
Turbo bottom.
You're casting.
Turbo number one last. Then Kim. Then Nam. Sorry, Nam had to say it. Then Sam Bird. Then Tommy. Then Darrell. And then my top three, third place, Johnny. Second place, Jack. First place, didn't see this on my bingo card, Jay.
First place, Jay. You know, when you were reading through some of those names, I feel like another reason why I am higher on the season is we got really fortunate with, I feel like, the elimination boot order. I feel like losing, like you listed off the top five of who you want to like see back. Like, I hope we don't see any of them ever again. Like, I feel like we got super fortunate with how these people went home. Because if Nam was still coming around, where, and like it was Nelson that got sent home or Bananas, like, I feel like we got pretty fortunate of the people who were left compared to the people who were sent home. I feel like we're left with like the cream of the crop outside of, I feel like, having Jay and Michelle still in the mix would be fun, and Laurel. But for the most part, I'm pretty much good with everyone that's been eliminated.
Well, yeah, the vets ran the table and the rookies took each other out. So.
Yeah.
There are some people on the women's side I don't even remember. There are two women I do not remember on the women's list.
Well, yeah, one of them, I mean, Nam's partner, I'm thinking he even got an airtime. Still more professionals than Kenny, though. Bottom, Turbo, absolutely. Never see him again. Two, I would put Nam at number two. Never see him again. Sorry, I just got super distracted in the football game, like the craziest play I've ever seen, the way it ended. Sorry. Turbo left.
Don't tell people that you have television on while you're doing this.
I know.
So rude. Turbo left. So rude.
I told you, I don't like just staring at a screen.
Just don't tell people. You can do it. Have the respect to lie to the audience.
Okay. Turbo last, then Nam, then Sam, then Tommy, then Kim. But you can put those five in literally any order.
Oh, yeah. I don't need to see any of them.
You put them on any order. I don't need to see any of them ever again. Then Jack, then... I can't do it. Then Johnny, then Darrell, then Jay. I almost put Johnny ahead of Darrell. And honestly, I wouldn't even be that upset if I did see Johnny's name over Darrell. I feel like Johnny would add a little bit more spice, but I just can't do that. But I would put Darrell then Jay.
All right. Totally respectable list. For the ladies, I have...
And the second that Kenny is eliminated, drop him back. With the group of five that we can never. I mean, you know what's unbelievable? They had in that first like 15-minute segment, right, where they were having like the love retrospective of all the pairs. And I think every single partner was like a dual confessional. It was just Casey in the confessional. Like, I know Kenny got a confessional support during the challenge, but the fact that they couldn't even give them the confessional together at that point is insane.
I don't know how you have Kenny in the room and think he would be good on the show, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe he's just not reading on camera and he's got this, like, magnetic, incredible personality that's just not reading on camera. But, like, it's just kind of surprising. He seems like a really nice guy. Like, it's not personal.
I'm sure he's a fantastic guy. I'm sure. But the fact that even Casey, the first episode, was like, yeah, I'm, like, the electric one personality-wise in the family. Like, I feel like that should have been the calling card. Like, well, that's not great. Like, you know, Casey brings some other things to the table, but it's certainly not like her electric personality. And if we're finding out her brother is the less version of that, like, I mean, is it all because they, to work backwards, like, we want to have Bananas on, but Bananas would only do it with Nani, and Nani would only do it with Casey. So to get Casey, we needed to have Kenny.
Maybe. Maybe. Crazy. Getting to Kenny the women Clark. From the yeah. bottom, I have Emmy, Tamara. Who's her partner? I don't remember her at all.
Turbo.
Oh, okay. There you go. Then I have Sis, Colleen, Veronica. I have Raven. You know, change my mind. Kayla, Veronica, then Raven, then Laurel, then Michelle. I could split hairs between Laura and Michelle tied.
Yeah, they're 1A, 1B for sure. Yeah, I would say Emmy last, then Tamara, 1A, 1B down there.
So brutal.
But,
I love it.
It's brutal. But you know what? It's a brutal game about who you want to see back. Actually, you know what? I'll give Emmy the honor of being 1 for just like quitting because she got mud on her. Tamara above her. She didn't quit for that reason. So. I'll put Tamara too. Colleen 3, but like, I mean, I would put Colleen ahead of, again, all the other five guys that we mentioned in that bottom group before. Like, at least she got in the mix. Colleen. I feel like I would like to see Sis back. I would like to see Sis, like, on her own, not, like, having to have, like, that forced friendship with Tommy. I feel like she could be good. But Sis 4. Kayla, I'd like to see Raven back. I'd rather have Raven back than Kayla. I just feel like we've seen Kayla, her arc. I'd rather have Raven. Then Veronica, Laurel, Michelle. But, I mean, Michelle and Laurel. Actually, I'll put Laurel 1 and then Michelle, but I want to see both back.
All right. Brian coming in hot with his takes there, as always. We love it. Murray wants to know where people are talking about the challenge. I don't know that answer. If you know, please write in. Well, we're talking about the challenge, but people, if you want to engage socially, not on Reddit in the challenge, let us know. We'll plug it for Murray. Norris has an update on Challenge Australia. Sad to say it, but don't know if you guys have already talked about it. But Challenge Australia has gone to the streaming graveyard after performing very terribly. Do you think the challenge is a show that can be enjoyed by the casuals? I feel like it's much more enjoyable when you understand the relationships of the cast and can understand why they're making the decisions they're making.
Wait, like it's just not airing anymore? They're just not showing the season?
I guess it's going to streaming straight to now. Like it's like they moved it to Paramount Plus.
Streaming. Oh, interesting. Oh, like it was on Australia, like network TV, and now it's not even on that anymore. It's just on Australia Paramount Plus.
I mean, this is what Nerissa says. I don't have any more information.
I did watch the first episode to try to, like, it was like very similar to Challenge USA. I think I saw people talking about it, but they did like the exact same daily that they did in one of the seasons in that season where you had like run up the soccer field and like collect the puzzle, like the circles to fill out your TikTok.
Yeah, some people wrote into that exact one that they're doing this. It's the same setup, like the same materials.
It was. Yeah, they had the algorithm, the whole shebang is back. Yeah, I mean, look, that's why I think we've struggled with the Challenge USA, right? Like, I think that thrived a little bit for a while because it did have the inner workings of these people from prior seasons. But I have always felt that the challenge, as opposed to Survivor, which you can put anyone on there, the Survivor will be good. The challenge is good because of the people, not because of like the structure of the show. If anything, the structure of the show is sometimes super messy and screwed up. It's the people that make the show, not the other way around. So when you don't have any connections to the people, I can understand being like, this is ridiculous. Why am I watching this?
I mean, we don't, right? But presumably, you know, like the great Shannon Gus told us that they're like really heavy hitter reality people. Now, maybe they don't have connections to each other, but like in theory, right, it should work. And in theory, like celeb quote unquote reality should work in like, you know, the new show that's coming to Peacock with like the Daggers and Cerise on and Kyle Cook from Summer House. Like in theory, it should work to take people who have worked on television and put them in the house, like the Big Brother insert into the challenge. But I don't know, maybe it's not working. I haven't seen it, but sad to hear it. Would love for it to be taking off.
Mm-hmm. More challenge. And look, there'll be the Challenge Global Finals. They actually, I remember in the premiere, they made more of a note of that. The stress that like the people you eventually go represent your country in the global one. They didn't really do that as much in Challenge USA other than the voiceover. So they did try to make more of a note with that.
And then Candy Carlotta says, Allie, please mention the PVS Aaron Judge Twitter incident. I don't know what that is, Brian.
Oh yeah. So people, I gotta understand my Twitter audience sometimes doesn't realize that I care much too much about the Yankees. So when I thought Aaron Judge was signing with the Giants, I let out a tweet. Basically, you didn't know any better. It was like an SOS call. I think I said like I hate life and is like not worth living. Like I think it was basically something like that. And if you didn't know what it was about, you would be very concerned about me. So one of my mom's Twitter friends responded, being like, "Brian, I'm thinking of you. I'm sending you all the positive thoughts. I hope everything's okay in your life." My mom sent me the screenshot, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry. It's just about Aaron Judge and the Yankees. Like everything's okay."
Yeah, here's the tweet. I actually didn't comment on it. I saw it, and I actually meant to text Akiva like, "What sports thing is going on that right. this is about?" But forgot. But I was mildly concerned, but pretty confident it was about
it's
sports.
A very concerning tweet. It's a you very said, concerning tweet.
Complete December 6th, completely and utterly dead inside.
Yeah, that's
no hashtag, no like hashtag Yankees, like just completely and utterly dead.
Right. I didn't like quote. I should have quote tweeted it. The tweet indicating it, so people would understand the context. Just letting that out on like a random Tuesday at 6 p.m. is not the greatest of context. I completely understand that.
Here's what's hilarious about it is it got one retweet and two likes and two comments, and both comments were yours. I think people didn't know what to do with this.
It's totally fair. Look, I know my Yankee tweets also don't get as much traction as like my Challenge and Survivor tweets. My Yankee tweets are just my own self diary, so I really should just like put them all in the draft, especially when it's something like this. Because yeah, it was dark times for like 5 minutes in my head. So
here's an important piece of additional information for Plainview Sue. Plus, he got Wordle in too. Good day.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Was it Joust? Which Wordle did you get into?
It was, because I did House first, and then it was set up perfectly for Joust.
House? Oh, House.
House, yeah.
Wow, incredible. Great work.
Yeah, felt great. But yeah, Aaron, look, Aaron Judge is the Yankee again, Elton. I'm not dead inside. Everything's okay.
Completely everything's okay. And utterly dead inside. Incredible. Love it.
Yeah. Make that your Twitter bio.
Oh God, yeah, right. No one will check in on me, I'll tell you that for free.
Oh man. All right. We will be back not next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, episode 11. You can follow me on Twitter @CohenBrian_ Right now, maybe my TikTok is BrianCohen28, but by the time you listen to this, I think it will be CohenBrian_. And hopefully I will be able to come up with a TikTok and it'll be posted. If not, TBD. Follow you.
@LashTweets.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Till then, have a good one.